Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we are going to England, and of course, if you are a smart cookie here in Taiwan in high school and getting ready to go to university, you might be smart enough to head to one of the prestigious universities in England. And of course, when we think of prestigious universities in England, we think of Oxford and Cambridge, don't we?
Yeah, they're very difficult to get into, though. Yeah, I've never tried, but I understand you have to be very, very smart. And I think they have tests, but I'm not sure, tests to get in. But it is very difficult to go to Oxford and Cambridge. I've been to both of these universities. They are gorgeous. They look like castles, and I always thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to go to school in a castle? They're very, very old, old buildings, because they were established hundreds of years ago. We're going to be talking about a boat race that these two schools engage in. They have a big rivalry. They both want to win, and whoever wins gets bragging rights. We talk about bragging rights when a team wins, or maybe you beat someone in your family, and for the next year you get to say, I beat you, I'm the best. Those are bragging rights.
That's what they are, indeed. So let's talk about this boat race. And this is kind of interesting because this sounds similar to dragon boat races.
Cool.
Which, of course, go on in Taiwan and China and Singapore and other places with lots of Chinese people. Maybe around this time of year. I don't know when Dragon Boat Festival is, but let's talk about this rowing race between rival schools in England right now. Let's read through the entire contents of our lesson for today, and we'll be right back.
The universities at Oxford and Cambridge are the two oldest such institutions in the UK. They also have a long-standing rivalry that adds spice to any sporting competition between them. One highly anticipated event is the annual boat race between Oxford and Cambridge. The race began in 1829 as an unofficial challenge between old friends. But over the years, it has transformed into a contest watched by thousands of people live and by millions on TV. The two teams each consist of eight rowers and their cox, who steers and coordinates the team. The teams are known as blues for the colors they wear. Oxford rowers wear dark blue, while their Cambridge counterparts dress in light blue. The race is held on the River Thames in London, starting at Putney Bridge and finishing in Mortlake, just before Chiswick Bridge, a distance of about 6.8 kilometers. At the start of the race, the teams toss a coin to decide which station or side of the river they start on. Once this is decided, teams cannot switch stations to take advantage of deeper water or bends in the river unless they are a boat's length in front of their rivals. The race is umpired by a group of former blues, whose main job is to keep teams on their own racing line and prevent their oars from clashing. At the end of 2016, Cambridge led Oxford by 82 races to 79. Winning the boat race is a true expression of teamwork. The rowers and their cox must ensure that eight sets of muscular arms and backs are operating as one. Anything but perfect coordination will result in a victory for the other team. With so much skill on display, it's small wonder that the boat race has grown from a university tradition into one that is enjoyed throughout the UK and beyond.
Okay, everybody, the time has come for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. It's our sport unit, and we're talking about a boat race. It's rowing and rivalry. It's all about rowing, and it's all about a rivalry. So, hey, while we're at it here in the title, let's go ahead and talk about this word, rivalry. That's when there's a competition between usually two schools or teams or whatever. Mm-hmm. And usually it's kind of like involves one particular sport. Like in my home state of Iowa, for example, there's a big rivalry between Iowa State University and the University of Iowa, and every year there's a big football game, and everybody gets excited about it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's also a rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox, mm-hmm. and I guess there's also a rivalry between Harvard and Princeton, I guess, in certain sporting events. And we've got one here in England between Oxford and Cambridge.
Yeah, it's fun to have those rivalries. It adds to the excitement of sporting events for sure. Now, we're talking about the universities at Oxford and Cambridge, and they're the two oldest such institutions in the UK. An institution is an organization. It can also be something like a religious organization. It could be an educational organization, something like that. It has a similar purpose. Now, when you add that word such institutions, you're talking about institutions that have something to do with education. So they're probably the oldest schools in the UK, especially universities.
Exactly. You could also say they're the two oldest institutions like this. Such means like this. So these particular institutions are rivalries, or rivals, I should say. When you are one of those teams, you are a rival, and then the whole situation is referred to as the rivalry. There's a rivalry going on for Mary's hand. Both Bob loves her and John loves her, so Bob and John are rivals for Mary's hand in marriage, for example. So we've got a rivalry between Cambridge and Oxford here, and they also have a long-standing rivalry that adds spice to any sporting competition between them. So they've got, I guess, this rivalry in terms of the educational quality, I guess, of going there, but also in terms of a sporting competition or sporting event. And one highly anticipated event is the annual boat race between Oxford and Cambridge.
Yeah.
So it's highly anticipated. To anticipate means to really wait for something with great expectation. I am really anticipating the arrival of my Aunt Lisa next week. She's going to come to visit Taiwan, and I'm going to take her to all the night markets and stuff like that. So I'm really anticipating, I'm really looking forward to her visit.
Yeah, we all look forward or anticipate big holidays like Chinese New Year. Oh, that's a fun one. And Christmas. Those are awesome events to look forward to or to anticipate. And people get really excited about this yearly or annual boat race between these two universities. The race began back in 1829. It was an unofficial challenge between old friends. So it wasn't official. The school president didn't say, okay, I'm going to call the other school president and see if they want to have this boat race. It was kind of unofficial. Maybe friends who went to different universities were having dinner one night and said, hey, I'll challenge you. So that's how it started. But over the years, it changed or transformed into a contest watched by lots and lots of people. If you transform something, you take something and change it completely sometimes. I really would like to transform my apartment into a crazy fun house. Right now it's boring. When I was younger, my dad wanted to transform one of the rooms we had in the house into his den or to his study. So they transformed this into a contest. What's a contest? It's a competition between two people, two teams or a group of people, and someone wants to win.
Someone does want to win, and of course, every time I see this word transform, it reminds me of the Transformers, Robots in the Sky.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry, Robots in Disguise. That's an old cartoon show, which later was made into movies, as you know, the Transformers. They transform from cars or trucks into robots. You get the idea. And yes, it's a big contest. Thousands of people watch this live, lining the banks of the Thames River, or they simply stay at home and watch it on the telly. Now, the two teams each consist of eight rowers and their cox, who steers and coordinates the team. So we've got eight rowers. This sounds similar to a dragon boat racing. I don't know how many rowers you have in dragon boat races. I think there's a few more than this. But you've got the guy or girl or whoever who beats the drum.
Yeah,
and that's
for
like
the rhythm.
So that's kind of similar to what the cox is here.
Oh,
cox
okay.
Here is short for coxswain, which is basically a person who steers a boat. To steer means to guide the direction of the boat. The rowers there, they can't pay attention to that kind of stuff. They're too busy rowing, so the cox kind of has the rudder behind him or her, and this person steers the boat. Oh, we're going too far to the left. We need to compensate and go to the right a little bit.
Yeah, and if you steer something, you're just guiding it or controlling the direction or the movement of something, like a boat, as they are doing, or a vehicle. A steering wheel is that round wheel that we hold on to in the car to drive the car. So he or she is responsible for steering, and also this cox coordinates the team. I hadn't heard cox before. I'd only heard coxswain, so I've only heard the full word, but cox is shorter. It's easier to say. The teams are known as Blues, because they wear the color blue, which makes sense. Now, the Oxford Rowers, which is so hard to say, even for me, rowers, they wear dark blue. Now, their Cambridge counterparts dress in light blue. Your counterpart is someone who has a similar job or the same position or does something similar to you, your counterpart. On the other side, of course, not in your own company. You might be doing a negotiation with a company, and the person you're negotiating with is your counterpart. Well, here we're saying that the counterpart for the Oxford folks are the Cambridge rowers, and they wear light blue.
Yeah, this sounds like different teams in football in England, you know, soccer.
Sure.
The Blues refers to the Chelsea team, and then you've got other teams that have colors. And
the greens.
Like the Canaries.
Oh.
From, where are they from? Northampton or something like that? No, it's not Northampton, but I can't think of it offhand. But in any case here, yeah, you've got these different nicknames for these people based on the colors of the clothing they wear.
Mm-hmm.
And so the race is held on the River Thames in London, starting at Putney Bridge and finishing at Mortlake just before Chiswick Bridge, a distance of about 6.8 kilometers. Now, I just read three names in London that I've never heard of before.
I think
before.
It's Putney.
Yeah,
isn't
Putney.
It?
I said
yeah.
Putney, but I knew when I said that I could be wrong.
Mm.
I'm not from there, so I don't know how to say it. I've never been there before, so maybe I should go there to go to this bridge to figure out exactly how to say it, but you said Putney, right?
Yeah. You know, they often pronounce things differently than Americans would, so sometimes it's surprising to hear how something's really pronounced, you know? My brother was in England for a while, and I thought it was pronounced one way, and then I heard it was completely different. So, yeah, better check with someone who's from that country.
I believe you're correct, though. Putney, the dictionary here does say Putney.
Oh, good.
I hope Mortlake and Chiswick are correct, but that's on the river, and the distance is about 6.8 kilometers. I wonder how long that takes to row 6.8 kilometers.
Yeah, I bet they're really, really fast. Right now, guys, we're going to take a quick break and listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk about the race.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们首先来看到在今天第一个空格前面的句子提到 They also have a long-standing rivalry that adds spice to any sporting competition between them. 在这里提到的是牛津跟剑桥两所古老大学呢，他们长久以来的竞争关系。那么在这里的关键字就是前面提到的 sporting competition, 运动的比赛，延续这样子。而在第一个空格后面又提到 the race, 所以呢搭配句意。第一题我们可以选择 sentence A。A 句里面提到 One highly anticipated event is the annual boat race between Oxford and Cambridge. 在这里就提到了呢，大家众所瞩目的一个比赛项目，就是牛津跟剑桥一年一度的赛艇。那么在这里就符合前面的 sporting competition 以及后面句子所提到的 the race。所以第一题的标准答案就选择 A 选项。 第二个空格后面的句子提到 The teams are known as blues for the colors they wear. 在这里提到呢，这些队伍以他们所穿的这个蓝色为著称。而延续这样子的文意呢，后面又提到 Oxford Rowers。 那么在这里，牛津的这些将手呢，穿的是深蓝色，而这个 Cambridge counterparts 他们的对手呢，剑桥大学则是穿着浅蓝色。看了这样的句子，我们第二题的标准答案可以选择 C 选项。首先在 C 选项的句子里面提到了 The two teams The two teams each consist of eight rowers and their cocks who steers and coordinates the team最主要的关键字就提到了这两支队伍来呼应后面的句子提到的 The teams 这两支队伍都有八支将手以及舵手而舵手的任务则是负责驾驶以及呢来协调整个的队伍那么第二题的标准答案可以选择 Sentence C 来呼应后面所提到的 The teams 以及 rowers
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about a rowing race between two rivals in England there, the teams from Oxford and Cambridge Universities, and they have this annual boat race on the River Thames every year, and it's in April or so. That's what it is now. So I suppose this race is taking place pretty soon here, and we also talked about where they exactly row. They're on the River Thames in England. They go between a couple of bridges there, and the distance is 6.8 kilometers. Now, at the start of the race, at the beginning of the race, the teams toss a coin to decide which station or side of the river they start on.
Uh-huh.
So here we've got the word station in quotation marks. This term is used only to describe this particular situation. In other places, station means something entirely different.
Yeah.
A gas station, for example, or a bus station or whatever. But in this particular case, it talks about their position or the side of the river they're rowing on, whether they're on the left or on the right.
Now, once they toss the coin and they've decided which station or side of the river they start on,The teams cannot switch stations to take advantage of deeper water or the bends or the curves in the river unless they are a boat's length in front of their rivals. That's the rule. Now, if you take advantage of something, it means you use something to help yourself so that it benefits you. Maybe you're someone who wants to take advantage of all the end-of-year sales at the department store. I like to, because if you take advantage of those sales, it saves you some money. Well, here it just means...Even though it would help you if you maybe switched or went over to the other side because there's deeper water and it's easier, you can't unless you're a whole boat's length in front of your competitor. So you got to obey the rules. You can also take advantage of your education by studying hard and getting good grades and then having an opportunity to get a great job when you finally graduate.
Yeah, take advantage of can also have a negative connotation,like to be used by someone. Hey, you took advantage of me just because I'm a child. You shouldn't do that. But in any case here, yes, sometimes I guess it's better to row through deeper water,or to get close to the bank of the river,when you're going through a bend,in the river. The bend, of course, is where the river bends. Basically, it curves. And unless they are a boat's length in front of their rivals, then they have to maintain their position.Otherwise, if they're right next to each other, one has to be on the right, one has to be on the left, or they'll probably be disqualified. Now, the race is umpired by a group of former Blues whose main job is to keep teams on their own racing line and prevent their oars from clashing. To umpire here, usually that word is a noun. Mm. If you talk about the person who is watching the game to make sure everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're umpiring. umpires in baseball. I think there are umpires in cricket as well. Again, these are people who make sure that the game is proceeding in a fair way. And so they make sure everybody's obeying the rules. They are the referees, basically. And these are former Blues, former people from Oxford, so I hope they're not biased here. But they keep the teams on their own racing line. Hey, you're supposed to be on the left. You're supposed to be on the right. Stay where you're supposed to be. And they prevent the oars from clashing. To prevent means to stop something from happening. The oars are the things you're using to row with. And to clash, in this particular case, means to bump into each other. Most often the word clash refers to clothes that don't match, okay? If your top is plaid and then your pants are polka dot or something in a weird color, then they're going to clash. They don't go good together.
Although in today's fashion, they're putting a lot of different prints together, so maybe you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Colors sometimes don't go together very well, like hot pink and orange. Although I've seen that too, so who knows?
Never know.
You can also maybe have a clash, a violent clash between, you know, two different armies or two different countries where they fight. So a clash can be pretty violent too. Here it just means they don't want to run into each other. At the end of 2016, Cambridge led Oxford, by 82 races to 79. Very close. I'm actually shocked they're that close.
Yeah.
So they're pretty evenly matched, you could say. Now, in the last paragraph, it says, winning the boat race is a true expression of teamwork. You really can't do this alone. I think the difficulty of rowing a boat is just getting the oars in sync so that they are in this rhythm and they can row together, because it's not easy. I think that's why they have the drum, right? To get the rhythm, the beat of the rowing.
Well, that's for a dragon boat. Boat races. I don't know what a cox or coxswain will do to get the rowers to work in sync, but the rowers and their cox must ensure that 8 sets of muscular arms and backs are operating as one. So if one person is not keeping up or one person is getting a little bit ahead of the rhythm, then that might spoil their team effort and they'll lose precious seconds and the other team might just slip ahead of them.
It's true. Now, in the next sentence, it talks about anything but perfect coordination will result in a victory for the other team, which is exactly what you don't want. You want to win. You don't want your competitor to win. Coordination talks about the process of getting together or coordinating, be together with somebody so you're organized, you're doing things in the right process or system. You need a lot of coordination if you're going to be, for example, a baseball player. Your eyes and your hands, eye-hand coordination. Have you heard that before for athletes?
Yep.
You've got to have good eye-hand coordination to hit that baseball because it comes so fast. Coordination is required in business. If you don't work together with your coworkers in a good way, you don't get anything done.
Right. Everybody needs to be working at the same pace and getting things done at the same time, etc. You've got to have good coordination, or you need good hand-eye coordination to play basketball, etc. And so perfect coordination will result in a victory for the other team if you don't have that perfect coordination. That will be the result. It will result in victory. That means the other team will win and you will lose.
Yeah.
So you've got to have perfect coordination all the time.
So with so much skill on display, it's small wonder that the boat race has grown from a university tradition into one that is enjoyed throughout the UK and beyond. When they first started, long, long ago, it was just, you know, those groups of friends that were kind of watching what was going on, that were engaged in this, participating. But now, because of TV, I think primarily, and the internet, people are engaged in watching this all around the world. Because there are a lot of Brits who have also, you know, immigrated to other countries. But I think it's fun to watch. They're really cute guys, so I think it's wonderful viewing. Remember, there's a lot of muscles on display. If something's on display, guys, it just means you can see it.
Yeah, I suppose men and women watch this for different reasons. Men are probably watching it to learn about competition and how to get ahead in the business world, while the girls are watching it for those big muscles. Ooh la la, hubba hubba, I wish I could meet that guy sometime. So with so much skill on display, it's small wonder, as you said, that this boat race has grown from just a small little university tradition to this big event that people enjoy on TV, and they enjoy it live as well. So, hey, if you got the chance, tune in to this boat race and see who wins. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a break now and listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
第三个空格，我们来看一下后面句子提到。Once this is decided, teams cannot switch stations to take advantage of deeper water or bends in the river. 一旦呢被决定了，那么队伍就不可以转换到哪一个岗位，或者是呢来这样子的优势。那么到底什么被决定呢？我们第三题可以选择 Sentence E， 在 Sentence E 里面提到 At the start of the race, the teams toss a coin to decide which station or side of the river they start on。 原来啊，在赛艇的一刚开始呢，队伍就要丢铜板来决定他们要从哪一个河岸，也就是哪一个岗位 station 来开始。所以搭配文意，后面提到一旦这个决定了就不可以改变，所以第三题答案我们就选择一选项。第四个空格后面的句子提到 The rowers and their cogs must ensure that 8 sets of muscular arms and backs are operating as one。 在这里的重点提到的就是 operating as one， 大家呢都要同心协力的呢要有一致性，而这样子就呼应前面呢我们可以选择 F 选项。Sentence F 提到 Winning the boat race is a true expression of teamwork， 想要展现出团队呢就必须大家的协调要一致，才有可能会获得赛艇的比赛。所以搭配文意后面提到大家要一致性协调，展现团队合作能力，第四题的标准答案就选择 F 选项。Anything but perfect coordination will result in a victory for the other team. 一个不小心，如果你没有这样的协调的话，就可能会导致另外一个队伍获胜。第五题，我们就可以选择 B 选项。With so much skill on display, it's small wonder that the boat race has grown from a university tradition into one that is enjoyed throughout the UK and beyond. 这个句子很长，提到 with so much skill on display. 原来啊，你要展现出来是这么多的技巧，那也就难怪这样的赛艇赛事呢，会从一个大学的传统成为一个是今天不管是全英国或者是在英国之外的其他地方都受到喜爱的比赛。而第五题为什么要选择 B 选项呢？最主要是在这里提到了一刚开始的 with so much skill， 这样的技能的展现要来呼应前面句子所提到的 anything but perfect coordination。 在这里的 anything but 解释成为单单除了什么什么之外，也就除了要有完美的协调性之外呢，不然你就可能导致另外一队的胜利，所以你所需要展现出来的是 so much skill。 OK， 所以第五题搭配前面的句子，标准答案就选择 B 选项。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And make sure you join us again next time for another edition of our program. And if you missed this boat race on TV, you still have a chance to see something similar, the Dragon Boat Races, which will be happening next month. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.